The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, our next guest certainly runs a very different kind of festival. Meath man Robert Quirk runs festival company Rock You and has spent the last 6 years working with various governments and state agencies in countries like Bulgaria and Saudi Arabia to introduce large-scale music events, which are later broadcast on MTV. His latest one was in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, and it featured Janet Jackson, rapper 50 Cent, Chris Brown, and 40,000 concert goers. Robert, how did you end up getting into this business?
Look, I had a long career behind me working with multinationals in Ireland and abroad, working in Ireland and working in Zurich. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. And I found myself getting to a cycle of working for an incredible company, launching a department, growing a department, making it successful, and then sort of scratch my head and thinking, well, what now? And
so you had emigrated from Ireland.
Yeah,
where did you go first?
I lived in Switzerland for a few years.
That was an unusual choice, I would say.
Yeah, everybody was backpacking around Thailand and Australia and Boston or God knows what, and here's me off to the Alps, you know.
So what took you to the Alps? Mountain climbing, was it?
Well, I'd love to say it was something far more complicated than a Swiss girl.
Right.
So, yeah, I met a Swiss girl and moved over there. But no, as soon as I got there, it certainly wasn't a holiday. All through my life, it's been very driven for success and was focused on career. So it went well. Like, I mean, Switzerland's a beautiful country. But essentially, I...
And is the Swiss lady still there, no?
No, she's somewhere up the Alps.
she's up there without you, is she?
Yeah, no, she's up picking Edelweiss somewhere.
Right, okay. Yeah. And basically then you went to work for the IDA.
That was certainly a highlight. I mean, the IDA are just an incredible bunch of driven, passionate, smart people, and wonderful to be part of that organisation.
So you decided you were going to get into the festival music entertainment industry. What was your first step in that?
So we decided to take a strategic approach where we work specifically with governments, ministries, tourism departments, heads of state, and in some cases dictators, to try to make a social impact in that city or that country. So we're not a political organization, and we have, you know, we leave all that stuff aside. And regardless of what's going on in that country, we do one thing, and we do one thing well, is we're there to inspire and motivate the young people of that country.
Well, one of the first ones you did was in Bulgaria. You did a festival there. How did that come about? Did you just sort of rock up to the Bulgarian government and say, you need a festival and I'm the man to do it?
Pretty much, that's it.
Next did you know anybody
no,
there,
kidding.
Or what did you do?
Yeah, that's really how it was. I specifically chose some destinations in Europe with some strategy who I believed could benefit from a program like this, a project like this. Frankfurt, Dublin, London, they have no end of opportunities, right? They have no end of tourism. They have new shows and conferences every day, right? But you look at cities who are competing for some of that. How can they compete with that, right? So we give them an opportunity to do that. Now, as a younger man, I was in Bulgaria, and I visited Varna a long, long, long time ago. And I always remembered that city having such great potential. It's got an incredible beach. It's got a very young population. The people are really, really kind and sweet. It's got an international airport. But it has challenges. There's a high degree of poverty. And unfortunately, there's a relatively high degree of corruption at state level.
So you put on a festival, the Bulgarian state would have paid for the festival. And in that sense, you're not really like a music promoter or a concert promoter who goes and gets an act and then tries to sell the tickets. This is part of a tourism promotion thing. So the state subsidizes it, gives you a budget and say, you organise it.
That's exactly correct. I'm glad you raised that, because we're not a standard or typical event promotion company, or we don't do concerts. What we do is we create these really high-level partnerships with governments and try to have a positive impact on the social or economic development of the city through this incredible televised international music festival, which is used as a platform to do so much more good. So we for example, in Bulgaria, for example, in Varna, we were supported by the Varna City Council in Varna, and also the Bulgarian Ministry of Tourism. So the budgets for these programs tend to come from media spends or tourism budgets and even economic development budgets. And that's exactly what we do. So in Bulgaria, for example, after the second year of our event, we increased international tourism by 17% into that city.
Now, you really ratcheted it up. This summer you had the Jeddah Music Festival in Saudi Arabia, and 40,000 people went. How did that come about? Did you make contact with the Saudi Arabian government? Or?
Yes. I mean, it was an incredible project.
But how do you do that? Do you just write them a letter?
You have to be relatively strategic. And like all of these projects, you know, the decision to do them has to come from internally. So no matter how much you beat on doors or how much you say this is a great idea, because it's a state-funded or a government project, the decision should come from inside the house. So luckily I have a great international network of business associates, and we're usually just one or two steps away from anybody in the world who we'd like to talk to.
So somebody knew somebody that was able to get you an introduction.
Correct,
that you could then...
Yeah.
And did you sell the idea on them, or were they already looking for some kind of big international...
So I remember it clearly. We met in Paris and we had a great lunch in L'Avenue. A year later, out of nowhere, I got a phone call saying, great, we want to do it. And off we went. And it was the most challenging yet rewarding projects of my entire life. And anyone involved in that project, of the 600 people who were on that project, will tell you exactly the same. It was incredible.
What about doing business in Saudi Arabia with something that's financed by the Saudi Arabian government? Given their track record on human rights, given that Amnesty as recently as last week talked about a major clampdown on anybody who is criticising the state, women's rights activists, human rights activists, growing number of arrests, not allowed to protest. How do you feel about being a chunk of your business coming from the government that delivers that?
We sat down and we thought about that long and hard before we decided to give the green light on the project. So you can have two choices. So young people growing up in the world have... You can't choose where you live, and you can't choose where you're born. And you can't, you know, choose when you're 14 or 15 who your leader of your country is and what their grand plans are. You know, and so you have a choice. So do you leave those people, you know, isolated on this island and point fingers at them? Or do you try to include them into a global community and build bridges and connect them through the world, through music and shared experiences? So we decided to make a difference. And we decided, instead of just pointing fingers at those people over there, we decided to go out there and do something positive. And we did that.
Inevitably, having a music festival, you had Janet Jackson, Chris Brown, 50 Cent, a whole load of huge names. Nicki Minaj, although she pulled out, we can talk about that in a moment.
Who?
But Nicki Minaj.
Never heard of her.
But we'll talk about that in a minute. But what you're saying is that laying on an international festival like that music event was great for young people who live there. But in order to make it happen, are you facilitating or rehabilitating the international image of a regime that the reality is much harsher than it is young people just enjoying themselves the same as they would in Paris or in Dublin or somewhere else?
When we went out to Jeddah, we met in London first, and our team, our core team, and we sat down, we said, right, keep your head down, guys. You know, you're going to have to do a job. You know, don't mess around. This is serious. You know, there's going to be huge consequences, and, you know, watch out, and, you know, turn your phone off and all this sort of stuff, right? We got out there, and it's not like that at all. It's... Honestly, like, most of the people who we, local people, had working with us were all girls. And, you know, everyone's just walking around in jeans and T-shirt in Jeddah. And this very much sounds like I'm trying to promote Jeddah or something like that, and I'm not. But what
well,
I am...
Well, you're doing the concert for 3 years,
well,
so
for
you
three
want
years,
people to...
No, but what I am trying to say is that, you know, me, as an Irishman going out there, had, you know, all sorts of images in my head about what to expect, right? Because, of course, we see in the media, right? But it's very far from the reality of our experience of working there with wonderful, bright, young Saudi people who want to be involved in social media, want to get into graphic design, want to be part of the technical team at the stage, you know? And these are the people that we want to work with, because they're the ones who have a global view. And they start to see the world in a different way. And they don't feel isolated. And you mentioned Nicki Minaj, right? So we booked Nicki Minaj and we put her on the lineup. And she did, after a week or two, she decided she wasn't going to do the show, and her decision was because she wanted to support the, you know, LGBT
communities,
right?
And there are no LGBT rights in Saudi Arabia, so, and it's a very oppressive regime in relation to
and it is
gay
and
people.
So, but what happened actually was, so we that was a you know, she's entitled to make whatever decision she wants to, but her, the basis of her decisions were somewhat, you know, wrong, because what happened was that when she made that decision and made that announcement, all of the gay and lesbian people in Saudi Arabia said, well, what about us? You could have come out here and supported us. You could have come out here and, you know, made a change and stood up on that stage and said some inspirational words, and so we don't feel so weird and we don't feel so different and we don't feel so isolated. So it actually had the opposite approach.
But doesn't this come back to the question of political participation to try and bring about change? The issues remain the same anywhere, whether it's, you know, South African oranges in apartheid, should you sell them, you know, or should you buy them? If you buy them, you're supporting jobs there, which will help people. And it's that dichotomy. But at the end of the day, what you're saying is that young people in Saudi Arabia are great, but the regime is the problem.
I believe in the difference that energy and positivity can make in a young person's life, 100%. And at some point in the future, these people are going to grow up and become either leaders in business or leaders in politics, or, you know, travel the world. And by showing the world, like when we produce a one-hour TV show from Jeddah, which will be premiered next month, we're showing the world that these are just kids like anywhere else. And that's so important for us.
And how did it work with the concert, Robert, in terms of alcohol, segregation, male, female? What was it all like?
Yeah, you know, we went in there with originally with specific plans about, you know, how to manage all that, and there was no need. So it was the first time ever that there was an international music festival where, you know, everyone was together, partying like normal. I mean, you can watch the video Jeddah World Fest online, and you can see exactly how it was. You may as well have been Electric Picnic or Longitude or wherever. Young people dancing, having fun, like anywhere. And we didn't sell alcohol, but I can tell you there was as much alcohol there as there was.
People got their hands on it, and
well, there's a will, there's a way. You know, they're kids, right?
So, to do that. What about the other artists? Was it a hard sell to sell Jeddah or Saudi Arabia to Janet Jackson's people, and whether they wanted alcohol in the changing room or whatever request they might have?
You know, alcohol, it's always around somewhere, right? But it's the other stuff that's more interesting. Like, where the hell do you get an organic avocado in Saudi Arabia for the writer? Or
who's looking for that?
You know, I won't say, but you know, or
it wasn't Chris Brown anyway.
Well, no, it wasn't Chris Brown. He's not into the organic food at all. He's, well, a certain kind of organic food, perhaps. But no, it's the stuff that's you know, you're doing something for the very first time, right? And if you do this stuff in Dublin, you know, there's no end of companies who can go out and get all these things for you. But in Saudi Arabia, you know, in Jeddah, this is new. And we had to really think hard and fast about, you know, supporting and getting the writers, for example, for the artists. But come back to your question with Janet Jackson, was it difficult to get these artists to come in? I personally wrote a letter to all of these people. And I said, look, there's a lot of stigma attached to the project and there's a lot of stigma attached to the country. But, you know, when you see what you're going out there to do and make a positive difference to these young people's lives, that's when they realise, okay, we're going to do this.
The budget must have been huge, though, as well.
The budget was large, but I can tell you, so were the costs. You know, getting flying equipment in from all over the world, like Janet Jackson's backline, like all her technical equipment, and we had to get that from four different locations in the UK, trucked into Stansted, get a private jet cargo flight over to direct to Jeddah. And, you know, the numbers there are huge, you know, just for that one piece of logistics. So multiply that by, you know, across every performer and private jets out of LA for Chris Brown and so on. So, you know, we were lucky to come away with it with sort of enough to keep the lights on, really, for Rocky Media.
But you and Nikki, never the twain shall meet, is it? She's not on your Christmas card list.
Oh, look, you know, build a bridge, get over it. But I'd love to just meet with the management and just say, look, you know, you could have done something great there and you missed a trick. And unfortunately, you'll never be part of that story.
You're going to do the Jeddah Festival. It's a 3-year contract, so this was the first year. You have other festivals you're looking at. Where else are you looking at?
So we're going to have a really exciting project in Moscow next year. And it will be the first ever televised international music festival right on Red Square. So God rest his soul, Lenin's going to be shaking in his tomb there on Red Square outside the walls of the Kremlin.
But you're also going for an interesting political environment in Russia as well. Is this a Russian government-backed project, is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, these things don't come around easy, you know. I'm not interested to do this in a city in Europe which has no end of opportunity and no end of promotion, tourism flooding in the door. It's probably easier to do it.
Yeah, but might be better democratic rights and openness in those cities than is the case in Russia.
We're going there for a reason, and I you know, it's a location I've chosen to specifically go and make a difference and send a message for the young people, because what's going on in the world, Richard, you know, is so challenging right now, and we need to build bridges and across young populations across the world. I can tell you right now that being in Jeddah, standing in the middle of those 40,000 people, standing there in the middle of the show with people crying their eyes out, hugging each other, having this incredible experience, it's so moving, and you can physically see this emotion becoming into a physical response. And we're going to do that in Moscow as well, and we're going to go out there and send some big messages to the world.
Robert Quirk of Rock U, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.